We're going to take a look at the Lion King scene for the last of our three messages on the Lion King. We're going to look at the scene in which the song Hakuna Matata occurs. But before doing so, I want to say something that you really need to keep in mind as I go through this sermon. There are actually many kinds of worry, but there are two that I want to mention. First, there's the kind of worry you can do something about. You know, through self-awareness perhaps, or through meditation, or by talking with friends to get a reality check, or by, you know, checking things off on a to-do list. There are some kinds of worry that you can do something about. Everyday kind of worries that we all have all the time. That's what today's sermon is going to be about. But there's a second kind of worry, one that's debilitating, that can drain your life of pleasure, that can lead to depression, that can lead to paralysis, or worse. According to a recent study, I think it was by the Canadian Health Association, 1 in 10 Canadians suffer from this kind of debilitating anxiety. And then the person who was commenting on that study said, no, but actually I think it's almost twice as high. A commentator said that 20% of Canadians suffer from debilitating anxiety. You know, if this kind of anxiety is part of your life, a sermon cannot be of much help to you. In fact, if I were to preach something like, do not worry, and you suffered from this kind of debilitating worry, you might even become angry with me because I'm making light of your anxiety, because it seems like I don't understand how serious and deep your worry goes. What can I say about this kind of worry? This sort of significant worry is something that you probably should see a professional therapist about. He or she will discuss with you the many ways that modern medicine and counseling can probably really make a difference for you, can help you. There is a lot of help available for people who suffer deeply from anxiety, and then I hope you will seek it out because it can make a difference. But that's not the kind of worry I'm preaching about today. I just didn't want anyone in the audience to mix them up and think I was addressing one while speaking about the other. So on with the sermon, a sermon about the everyday worries that we all struggle with. We're going to be watching a clip from the movie Lion King in just a moment. In it, Simba, the Lion King baby, thinks mistakenly that he is responsible for his father's death. So you have this little baby lion who thinks that he has caused his father, the king lion, to die. Anyways, this little lion is weighed down by guilt and he doesn't know what to do about it, so he runs away from home. He runs very far, and he has no food, he has nothing to drink, he almost dies of thirst, weighed down by guilt, when this meerkat, Timon, and this warthog named Pumbaa come upon Simba, and they nurse this poor little lion back to health. They teach him how to eat slugs and bugs instead of antelope meat. And generally, the three of them grow up and they sing and swim and saunter their way through life without a care in the world. Simba, Timon, and Pumbaa live an aimless life of pleasure. Simba has forgotten that he really wants to be king. And their anthem is Hakuna Matata. Let's watch that clip now. Well, that seems pretty nice to me. No rules, no responsibilities, and no worries. It's a problem-free philosophy, right? Reminds me of Bobby McFerrin's song, which I'm sure you've heard, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." It goes like this. I'm not going to sing it. "Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord said your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Look at me, I am happy. Don't worry, be happy." In fact, this is interesting, almost anybody who is somebody in world history has pretty much said the same thing one way or another. Don't worry. Mark Twain said it. The Dalai Lama has said it. Deepak Chopra has said it. Corrie Ten Boom said it. She said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength." Voltaire said it. Billy Graham said it. Winston Churchill said, "Worry is interest on a debt that you don't owe." No worries. Well, this is what I think. How dumb. All of them. Bobby McFerrin, Pimba and Timon, even Winston Churchill. Don't they understand that worry is an inescapable part of life? Like the probiotics in your stomach, the color of your eyes? Telling people not to worry is like telling them, "Well, have your heart skip a beat." Can't be done. Pindar, who was wiser than all those other people I mentioned, I guess, he was a Greek poet who wrote 2,500 years ago. He said, "At the last, only death can free us from worry." I worry. This past month, Irene and I have been using the services of an independent financial advisor to make sure that we're set up for retirement 7, 8, 10 years from now, who knows? But we were worried. I worry about whether or not I'm answering my email in a timely way. I worry about the future of this church, about job prospects for my kids, and on it goes. I worry. Of course we worry. Jesus suggests we don't need to worry, because if God is feeding the birds of the air, he'll certainly feed us. But is that really true? I mean, for everyone, all the time? I mean, is that something we would dare preach in Ethiopia today? In Ethiopia, where they're again facing famine on just this massive scale? Is God going to drop maize and beans from the air for them like he provided manna and quail in the desert for the Israelites? Now get real. Which brings us back to Simba, that little lion. He's on the run because he's worried people will hate him for the role that he, as a little lion, played in his father's death. And even though he learns to sing Timon's and Pumbaa's Don't Worry song, we see a little bit later in the movie that his worry about what the people are thinking of him back home, that worry never really went away. That worry worked in Simba like a poison that was slowly killing him. A poison that almost, but not quite, but almost gets in the way of true love and him finally saving that pride of lions. Don't worry. In Simba's life, singing that song, "Don't worry," was an act of denial and hypocrisy and stupidity. And why shouldn't we worry? Worry is an evolutionary adaptation that has made humans one of the most successful creatures on the earth, because we can see ahead and imagine different outcomes and choose the right one. Worry is a sort of ignition switch for the brain that forces us to pay attention to the stuff that really matters. Worry helps us set our daily agenda and plan for a better tomorrow. Worry gets in the way of denial, so that we don't have to go through life pretending everything is okay when it isn't. So what do we make of that song, Hakuna Matata? What do we make of Jesus' command? It sounds like a command. Do not worry. Well, I think the first thing we need to keep in mind is that do not worry is not a moral command, like do not kill or do not covet. Do not worry, rather, is a bit of wisdom that is generally but not always true, a piece of wisdom that we need to take with a grain of salt. Like most proverbs, do not worry is both true and not true, depending on the context. Let me offer you an example. Let's see the first slide. Do not answer fools according to their folly, or you will be a fool yourself. But in the next verse it says, answer fools according to their folly. Well, which is it? I mean, both texts are in the Bible. Do not answer fools or answer fools? Well, it depends on the situation. Thanks for that slide. One more example, this time from popular culture. Another proverb. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Or is it out of sight, out of mind? I mean, can both of these bits of wisdom be true? Well, it depends. You see, proverbs are not like commands. Proverbs are actually bits of wisdom that need to be applied appropriately depending on the situation. Do not worry is like that, a bit of wisdom to keep in mind, but only when the situation warrants it. In Jesus' situation, so when did he say this? Why did he say that? Well, in Jesus' situation, we learn in the chapter before what we just heard that he is delivering his Sermon on the Mount to his disciples. Only his disciples. Matthew tells us that Jesus climbed the mountain to get away from all the crowds that were following him and that irritated him. So he climbs the mountain, gets away from the crowds, and finally he's alone with his disciples. He's talking just to his disciples, and Jesus tells them and only them things like, well, they should pray the Lord's Prayer, they should turn the other cheek, they should not store up treasures on earth, and so on. You see, Jesus is trying to turn his disciples into traveling evangelists that will continue his work when he's gone. And so Jesus is calling those disciples to a very high bar, one much higher than the PMO office had over the past few years, for example. And in part, Jesus can afford to tell his disciples not to worry about what they eat or wear, because we know from the Gospel of Luke that Jesus is being followed all over Israel by a number of rich women who Luke says are looking after all of his and his disciples' needs. Very nice. And Jesus can tell his disciples not to worry because whenever he goes to town, Jesus is met by rich people who want to feed and dine and house him. Very nice. And Jesus can tell his disciples not to worry as they prepare to be evangelists, because Jesus really does believe that this is exactly what God wants these 12 guys to do, and if God really wants them to do it, God will find a way for them to do it. So in that context, Jesus says, you disciples, do not worry. But at the same time, Jesus knew that there were appropriate times to worry. I mean, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that God would somehow provide a way out of the mess that he was in. He was worried about what he was facing. And similarly, in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells his disciples that, oh, my soul is troubled. Jesus was worried too about the big stuff that he couldn't control. So the bottom line? Well, it depends on the situation. If you don't have to worry, don't. If you are able, keeping in mind what I said at the beginning about there being two kinds of worry, if you are able, do not sweat the small stuff. It will leave you in better shape to focus on what really matters. Maybe what Jesus calls the kingdom of God or shalom. Maybe it'll leave you better off to focus on, you know, the big overriding goals that you have for your life without being tripped up on all the little stuff. In the end, for Simba, as long as Simba sang Hakuna Matata, Simba was missing out on his life's great calling to be a king, which he said he wanted to be, but he had forgotten because he wasn't worrying. He was missing out on his life's great calling to be a king, to save his people, to fall in love, because he wasn't worried. In his situation, Simba should have been more worried about these things so that he could have faced up to the shame and its role that it played in his life as he tried to avoid dealing with his father's death until it was almost too late. So, depending on the situation, don't worry unnecessarily. Don't sweat the small stuff when you don't have to. Don't fret your life away. Plan appropriately by focusing on the real issues, the big issues, so that you can be all that you want to be for yourself and others. Worrying just a little along the way. Amen.